to partake of your word today, Lord, and to partake of the bread and the wine today, God. We thank you, Lord, for being able to fellowship, Lord, with you today. Lord, we thank you for filling our cup today, Lord, filling our temples today, Lord, filling our trees with the rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord, for realigning us, Lord, during this 2 weeks of spiritual warfare, Lord, that you are realigning us, you're putting us in proper position, you're bringing things to the surface that needs to be dealt with, Lord, and I thank you, God, that your will be done in our lives, Lord, because we want to brace for impact. We want to be prepared for what's coming. And we thank you and give you praise, God, because you warn those that you love. You correct those that you love, Lord. And we worship and praise you this morning in Jesus' name. So in Genesis chapter 6, let's go ahead and examine this. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose, which was the angels came down and had sex with the humans, which is a hybrid, which is what we're dealing today with the transhuman. Okay, so, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Well, see, before they used to live almost 1,000 years. And so now it's been reduced drastically. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And I had a revelation about this. Okay. You all know, because we're all researchers, was researchers. We're researching the word now and not all that anymore. But we know that the way that this system works is an inverse. It's the as above, so below. Like what they say really means something else. And I have, one of the things that God has done with giving me their strategy is to give you the real meanings of the twist. Okay, this came to me this morning and my mouth fell to the floor. You know how Trump said, make America great again, which we all know all that is holding up a dead horse. It's never going to be the way it ever was. It's gone. But when I was reading this scripture, it came to me. Make America wicked again. A godless nation. And I thought, because look at it right here. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Because they are creating an earth without God. This whole plan that they have is synthetic, fake, and not real. Which I'm going to get into this in just a minute, and you'll see what I'm talking about. All right, now, let's go on down to verse 16. A window thou shalt make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shall you make that door. And I thought about that door. Wow. I never knew that door was three stories high. If you think about it, can you imagine the door on that ark being three stories high? Amazing. And then you know that God is the one that shut the door to that ark. It's amazing how God is. And then look at this. In verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Carbon dioxide that comes out, breath of life. From under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So when God brought judgment against the angels that come down and had sex and made the hybrids, God destroyed everything that had breath in it from God. So then I thought about the metaverse. And I thought about this global agenda of the beast versus God's world. This is where we're at now. We've got the metaverse world and we've got the Godverse world. Okay, in the Godverse world, God destroyed the earth through the flood. He destroyed all flesh, wherein was the breath of life, and everything in the earth shall die. Why? Because of sin. God destroyed the earth, the real world, because of sin. Look what the metaverse is doing now. Follow me on this. This is really going to open your eyes, Brad. They are doing the same thing through the outlaws. The Noah, okay? The same thing, but in the inverse. And this is what they're doing. They are converting mankind into transhumanism, synthetic and false. It's a false reality. A false world. Immediately when this agenda started, they shut the breath of God with the you know what. To stop that breath from entering in the atmosphere. The breath of God. They are choking the life out of the humans by calling it I can't breathe. They want humans to live in the metaverse through a digital twin, which is an identity of the devil, which is the false identity. Think of it like a man that leaves an older woman that he's been with for 40 years, who is now aged and is drooping because, you know, time is taking its course. And he wants a synthetic version of a woman. So he goes after a young skin, a young, or maybe even a plastic. That it's like that. It's going after a fake world. He no longer wants the real because he can't handle the real. He wants the fake and synthetic. It's the same way with the metaverse. And this is what I was telling you. It's a perfect reflection of Trump. I told you that. Trump's world, when you look at the majority of the people involved in this world over here, they're fake and synthetic. They're carved. They're you know, the plastic surgeries. They're an image. It's a fake synthetic image. But going into the metaverse is an image that you create based upon your probably your new age animal or whatever, this desire you have. Like they had on that show I was explaining to you the other day about, what was the name of that show? Where they make these characters and they go out on the stage in these characters. whatever demon they want to be, they can go out in this new identity. This is the metaverse. So they will have their digital twin, and the thing is, they may not even be on the earth anymore. Not the voice, but the other one. Altered reality, altered something, whatever it was, but y'all get what I'm saying. But they're creating these digital, yes, not the avatar voice, no, but the Masked Singer is like it. But there may not even be a body anymore. Y'all are trying to figure out the show. No, it's not those shows. It's the alter ego. That's it. Yes, thank you, Cindy and Claudia. Alter ego, thank you. But the human may not even be there anymore, or it may be plugged up to a machine. But now that they have the digital twin of the person, they've got the voice of the person, and they've got the consciousness of the person, it may be a whole nother world inside the metaverse. So look what they've done. I want you to get a picture of what God showed me. In this false reality, they will live forever. They will live. The ones in the real world, they will die. But in that world, they'll live forever in this fake world. That's the metaverse. It's hell on a stick. That's what it is. That's what I'm going to start calling it. Hell on a stick. That should be, that could be another shirt. Hell on a stick. Okay, so let's all go to chapter 7. All right, now chapter 7, verse 7. And Noah went in. Now we're going in the ark. Okay. And Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. See, I think this is what they're doing in this world that they're creating. They are trying to push everyone into the metaverse. Even on YouTube now, they're starting to show, you know, commercials and stuff for it. But they're trying... They're going to make this world, the real world, such a hell that they're going to say the only peace is going to be to go into this world, into the middle world. And it's sad to see that Assembly of God and other denominations are already partnering with them in this world. It is the saddest thing, because I was Assembly of God. Okay, so going back to Noah here. So they went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So thinking of the inverse, they're flooding mankind, trying to stifle their voice, trying to stifle that breath. They want to get rid of that breath. They want to destroy the naturalness of God. Think about it, Brad. Everything that God did when he created the earth, they want to get rid of it. All plants, all animals, all humans, no more sex. You know, they want everything virtual. The beast wants to be a part of everything. Okay, then go on down to verse 13. We're still in chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7. Now we're down to verse 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of the son of them into the ark. Okay, now, let's see, hold on here. They and every beast after his kind and all the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. See, the thing is, if you think about how they're creating the metaverse, that is their ark. That is Satan's demonic ark. come in here in the metaverse and I will make your life wonderful. You can be whatever you want to be. You don't have to worry about the terribleness of what's happening. We're just going to put you in a little glass box and that way you can just live in the metaverse. This is where they're going to take these people. And that's going to be their arc away from the flood that's happening out here in the earth. And this is literally what is happening. Literally. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God has commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord. Three stories high door, the Lord shut them in. Amazing. Now let's go to verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. Everything that was on the outside of the ark died. This is what I'm trying to tell you about the metaverse. Everything on the outside of that ark is going to die. If you do not submit and come into their ark. But at the same time, God has an ark that he's putting together for his remnant. See, in the beginning, God, these are my notes. In the beginning, God gave us our blood. Filled with his oxygen breath. His signature is in our blood, the DNA. So the synthetic world wants our blood gone. They want that natural, beautiful breath of God to be gone. To get her. Lock her up. Get her. I can't breathe. Meta means death. They want that fake synthetic reality without the breath of God in it. In other words, they don't want the garden. They don't want to be in the garden. Okay? So let's go back to Genesis, where it all began. Let's all turn to Genesis chapter 1. All right, let's go back to the beginning of time and let's go to Genesis 1. Okay, now, let's start in verse 26 and 27. Okay, so in verse 26 it says, and God said, let us, which is why there's the Trinity, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, and let them, which is us, have dominion. This is our inheritance, bride. Listen here. This is our inheritance. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. If we partake of the seed of Satan, the snake that knew they was a snake and we still let them in, comes and offers you a, you know, the seed of this snake, their fruit. This is their fruit that they're putting in people. Okay. Think about it like this, the way this is in the garden. So the fruit comes in. And then now they have went into another garden. They've left the Garden of Eden and they went into this other garden, which is like the metaverse. And wow, this is really getting some red. I am feeling the revelation all over me right now. And let them have dominion, because see, we had dominion and the the earth is ours. And this is a gift to us. We're in the great garden. We're able to walk with God. We're able to talk with God. We're able to have a relationship. And you know what I'm saying? But when we take the forbidden fruit, now we have become clay and metal, you know. And now we are mixed. We are a hybrid like the days of Noah. And now we are a part of their metaverse. And it's now you're connected to this other world, you know. And so God, in verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now, this is what the beast can't stand, is the image of God. Because you are natural and you are beautiful. And it's only the devil that has told you you're not beautiful because you don't look like a plastic synthetic Barbie doll. That's only the devil that tells you that. I told you the story of me praying with that woman that was 110 years old on the deathbed. And she was a beautiful African-American woman. And she was 110 years old and she had spots all over her. And she had missed a lot of her, I guess they call it collagen or whatever. But she was like spotted. And she had freckles. She was had really deep wrinkles and she had a little bit of hair left, just a few piece hairs. And I was sitting there. Oh, she had the sweetest spirit. I've got video of her. She had the sweetest spirit, and I loved, loved, loved. I was able to spend the last 6 months of her life with her. And I asked the Lord when I was ministering to her, please let me be with her when you take her. And he did. He allowed me to. So one day I was praying over her. And I was rubbing her little head and I was praying in the spirit. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you see the wrinkles on her face? I said, yes. He said, you see all the flaws on her face. He said, the world has dismissed her because of her flaws. But her face tells me a story. And it tells me, like the rings on a tree, and she is beautiful to me. So the devil wants you to think that you have to be perfect before you can ever be used by God. There is people out there that are so vain, and I used to be one of them, that would not get behind the camera because you was too big, you had ugly clothes on, you had no makeup on. You didn't have this perfect image. You was afraid about what everybody was going to say about you. You know, you was too skinny. You had too many wrinkles. You have this wrong. You have this wrong. And thus you won't obey the Lord. You won't witness to anybody. You won't go out. And it's all because the devil has lied to you and told you you are not good enough to work for God. That is a lie from the pits of hell. And this is what the devil can't stand, is your beauty. So he lies to you, say, you're not good enough. You're just not pretty enough. Look at your teeth. Look at your face. Look at your hair. All the gray in your hair. Look how big you are. Look at the clothes you wear. Look where you live. Oh, you're just not good enough. Because he's trying to shut the mouth of God's breath. But we are created in the image of Almighty God, and we are beautiful thereof. And this is why we cannot give up our inheritance. Because the enemy is using all of that, the beauty and all of that, to lure people into the beast. Okay, so going back to Genesis chapter 1. Okay. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So this is what the beast Well, he has it now because, you know, he, the first half is where he is the one taking out the, his wrath. But he wants us gone because we had the inheritance. And he wants to rob that from us. But as long as we remain natural, we are keeping our inheritance. Okay, now, let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and go to verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God created man. The beast creates a clone. The beast creates a synthetic robot. The beast creates the opposite of God, the perfect image. The beast mocks God's creation and will, even in a more greater measure in the days to come, because he will be pointing out the flaws of God's people, of the naturalness, and he is going to try to destroy the image of God, literally. And I showed you the other day on one of my programs on the, Fireside Chat, something that Miss Sunny sent me about, I think it was Sunny, that they are going to give the technology to these ones that have this on the inside. They're going to corrupt their vision through this virtual reality interface they're putting in them. And they're going to be able to see how the beast labels people. So, like, let's say they'll have over somebody's head, liar. It'll be like over their head in the virtual, in the augmented reality. There'll be a sign over your head, over your forehead, that says whatever sin that it thinks that you are. Murderer, liar, adulterer, perverted, you know, whatever it is that it has this so-called proof that it thinks that you are, it's going to expose the people and it'll tell all these people. And then be shun will not even be the word for it. I mean, if that comes to pass the way that that is designed to do, humans will be the Christians. That's another way to shame God's image by pointing out that we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We know this. We all have issues that we deal with. But they're going to shred the image of God. In the Meta world hanging over your head. Oh, okay. Got you, Sonny. Thank you. All right. So we know from Genesis chapter 2, verses 7, that God breathed into us and gave us his breath. And in the natural design of humans, think about what they're doing with the climate change agenda. Because in the natural design of humans, we exhale, we breathe in oxygen that comes from the trees. And we exhale carbon dioxide, which feeds the trees. So it... as soon as the thing started, it slapped a muzzle on the mouth to stop that carbon dioxide and to force it back into the human, which causes sickness and breaks down their immune system and stops it from being released out here to help the trees and to help the earth. It's really sick what they did there. And then did the whole campaign of, you know, I can't breathe and all that other stuff. And we also know that through the climate change agenda, their whole focus is on carbon capture. All right, so let's go to the next deal. Now, okay. In order for them to have this metaverse, this fake synthetic beast, which is AI, okay, they have to have the five Genesis. But we know that the five Genesis technology, that it strips the body of oxygen and chokes the people. It removes the breath of God. And what did I tell you about the five Genesis? I told you it is the battery to the beast, didn't I? This is when I told you how President Trump all through 2020 was the head of that infrastructure of the five Genesis. He's the one that put in the thing that's actually going to kill the church. So anyways, it removes the breath. When you've ever driven through a city that has it so heavy you can't hardly breathe, you're like, I've driven through cities. Chattanooga's one, Atlanta's one, where it just like, you can feel it literally just sucking it. Okay. When people take this, I believe, I haven't found the scientific proof of this, but I've thought this since day one, that when they take this, it is a metal on the inside that deflects that so they can live in this world as a hybrid. It is like a shield to push that off, whereas with the natural person, the image of God, it's choking them because it's not meant to be here, you know, type of deal. Now, I saw the other day a video by Anthony Patch, which I know he's done some good research on, you know, how they do with the different technology. And, you know, I'm not endorsing him or anything, but I just happened to see this about how he explained the computer chip. And I was like, what? This explains everything. Because he was explaining how the computer chip is designed like a temple. It has the outer courts, and then it has the inner courts. You know, he showed it like this. I was like, what? Wow, Marty, that is sad. But you cannot trust them New Age doctors. I can't tell you again, Marty. I can't tell y'all enough, okay? They're all merging together. So they do release some truth, but anyway. So the computer chip that now they're putting on them is setting up the temple within the temple. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Marty. I was interested. That is him setting up in a throne, his throne within, in a place where he ought not be. And I want to point out something, Brad. I want to tell you this just in case they shut me down. Oh, okay, Marty, that's good to know. Okay, thank you. I want to tell you something, Brad. The Scofield Bible and Darby, which is the ones that started the pre-tribulation rapture, which all the denominations, you know, push basically, which now we see the denominations were actually with the beast now and then. It's kind of sad, but so they did all this to, in the end, cause people to fall right into the beast head first because they were expecting an event to happen before the mark would come. But now we know, it crept in. And if you didn't have a relationship with God that was, you know, organic, if you didn't do any research, you would be swallowed up in this thing, especially if you followed the biggest trumpet. Do you see what I'm saying? So they did that to cause these people to feel like they had to have an event happen before it would be rolled out. And it's not. it crept in. And there's many people. This is why I believe people is going to have weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because they're going to realize how they have been swallowed up. You see what I'm saying? Because they, like say, they followed somebody right off a cliff. Okay, then, or because of their idols or whatever. And then there's something else I want you to think about. I'm wondering if all of these warnings that all of these people that we know are the freedom movement that is connected to the beast, now that we know how they're all merging with Trump, the New Age doctors and all of that freedom crew has been warning people about the Great Reset, and including these other ones that you know of that's warned. So we're waiting on another event to happen before, you know, we've been waiting on the bottom to fall out before the circular economy come in. Do y'all see what I'm saying? I just want to tell you this morning, I just want us to keep our minds open that that may not happen. It may trend, it's probably, we already know the merger's already happened. The order is already here. They're already doing the circular economy. They've already doing the award system. This new thing that they just passed is that. So when I saw that, I was like, what? I thought they was going to have the great reset, Every, you know, the bottom's going to fall out. The lights are going to go out. 3 days later, come back up, and we're in this new verse, universe. But what if the great reset happened the way that we thought the rapture would happen? And it doesn't. But it's happening right before our eyes. And because we're thinking that it's going to be this event. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So all I'm doing is warning you, bride. You know, just keep your eyes open and just whatever you do, just don't partner with it. Yeah, we're waiting on some cataclysmic lights to go out event. But they're already changing everything. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's already here. So, you know, I mean, not saying it won't happen, but I don't want us to be fooled like we was with the rapture deal for years, where we was waiting on this before we thought this was going to happen. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Okay, so let me get back to my sermon here. Okay, we are in a war, bride. We're in a war. So let's go in the Bible over to Revelation. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. And the reason this is, we got to hear God. Exactly, heaven's calling. That is what I'm saying. It may be more deceptive than we think because it is already happening. We know this for a fact. Because what did God do? Before that event happened, God has taken us out. Because obviously God knows more than what we do. So this is why we have to follow God and we have to get out and do things here and there. Just like God says, because he knows what they're doing. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So we got to get out and follow God whenever God says, because we don't know what they're doing. They see, it was all of those people that told us that the Great Reset was going to happen like this. The bottom is going to fall out. The lights are going to go out. And then people are going to starve to death and die. And that's, I remember because of the health ranger dude saying that at Steve Quayle's conference, telling everybody millions of people are going to die. You just got to let them go. Because when it comes back up, we're going to change the world and make all these Christian laws. And, you know, we're going to rule the world. But what if that don't happen? And then these people are waiting on that event. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Okay, now let's go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb. Just like the children of Israel, when the spirit of death came. God warned them ahead of time and put the blood on the doorpost of the house. And by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. We have to be ready to give our life every day, bride. You have to already have that set in your mind. Because it could happen anytime, and they could come to your door anytime. And if you have that hesitation, you may fold. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Verse 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because what he knows that he has but a short time. Okay, and then let's go to verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandment of God. This tells you who the remnant are. They keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? He never changes. He's holy. He doesn't mix. He does not mix. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's turn your Bible to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians. Okay, so we're Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. All right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a battle, bride. We're in a war. And the devil's not playing, as we can see. And God is equipping you today. Charge! And go forth. Because we have spent all this past year and a half, almost 2 years now. What is this thing that we're seeing? We've researched till we're blue in the face. We have went down the rabbit trails. You know, we have done all this, and we have warned. Now God is saying, let it go. Now go after the harvest. Now, instead of trying to warn them all the time about what the beast is doing, flip your strategy and go to them now and say what Jesus is doing. Tell them, say, choose this day who you're going to serve. We are in the end of days, and you have to make a choice. Jesus is your Savior, and you're going to have to give him all. There is no more shadow of turning. You need to get saved. Jesus loves you. Do you hear what I'm saying, bride? We need to go after the harvest. There are millions of people who have not failed for this yet. And we need to go out there and win those people, and we need to tell them that Jesus loves them, and he has a plan for them. So we must stand strong, bride. You can do this, okay? And resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is why we have to get in our prayer closet. I hate it. You don't get to see the video that I did. I did the most wonderful video for you this morning. It was so good. All right, bride. Well, let's go ahead and take communion if y'all would get your elements together. And we're going to go ahead and do communion this morning. And we are going to commit our lives to the Lord this morning. And we are going to consecrate unto him give him everything. Let me make sure. Oh, okay, never mind. I got some final words. Okay, here's my final words before we do communion. Now, this is Pastor June talking to you, okay? The world is very dark. There is a lot of gross darkness. But God wants to use you as the light in the midst of the gross darkness. Seek the word of God. Pray and seek God. Separate yourself. Come out from the metaverse. You're going to have to, in other words, unplug from the matrix. Forgive others. Let go of your past. Let go of your thoughts of your future in the way that we used to always think it was. The future marriage, the future house with the white picket fence, the future good life, the future good job, the future of America is the way we know it, the future of our children, the future of our grandchildren, our expectations of the way we was when we was kids and it didn't turn out that way, all that stuff, right? We've got to lay it down and we've got to be willing to say, Lord, I am nothing. I want you to do whatever you're going to do. And I want to be a willing vessel. And I do not love any person, place, or thing more than you, Lord. So give God your future. Give him your expectations. God is truth and he is light. So there are two arcs that are being raised up right now, Brad. The arc of safety into the metaverse in this new community, in this community that's being built that is encompassing every sphere of society. The Seven Mountain Mandate is in this metaverse arc. It is a world that promises worldly gain, worldly money, worldly fame and fortune, living forever, the charm of tomorrow, the acceptance of society, that you have a future over there. Then you have the other arc. The arc of Jesus is calling. And the arc of Jesus is death. It will cost you everything. It will be suffering. It is separation from the world. It is rejection. It is a hard road. It is a very narrow road. It is a road of the unknown. It is an area that is unfamiliar compared to this. This is the worldly arc that is the familiar, that is the accepted way, that is the feeling good of the flesh because it's people rubbing your ego. This is this arc over here that is set up. But Jesus says, if you love me, that you will give up your life like he gave up his, that you will love not your life to the death. And I'm not being all dramatic. This is how real it is. Y'all know this is me. I speak it plain. I am very just to the point. I don't beat around the bush. And that this is where we're at. Over here is death. Death to everything about you. Death to your future. Death to your children's future. Death to your thoughts of yourself. But that is on the earth. Because what a day there will be when our Jesus we will see as we look upon his face, the one who saved us by his grace. Down on our knees is where we need to be. What a day, glorious day there will be. I think about Jesus in the garden. You know, Jesus was tempted by Satan. Go in the metaverse, Jesus. Come over here and meet. And I will give you the world, Jesus. I own all this. I will give you all this. Jesus was tempted. He was tempted so much he sweated blood. Jesus chose to suffer. He chose to give it all. He gave up the fame and the fortune and the image and everything else. And he walked out of the garden, and the army was there to take him. And he willingly surrendered because his time had come. Jesus carried that old cross. He was beaten on his back. The flesh was pulled off his skin. He was tortured, ridiculed, and mocked. He chose to die for you. He chose to go to the cross. He chose to hang up on the cross. He could have had 1,000 angels come and lift him off that cross. Jesus looked down off that cross and saw his loved ones. And he saw his loved ones down there crying. Oh, how the temptation could have been to come off. I see some people in the future laying on the guillotine and looking at their family members, begging them to get off. And it's like Jesus on that cross looking at his family, putting vinegar on Jesus' side, mocking him. But Jesus still, in all his suffering, had so much mercy that the man hanging on the cross next to him asked him, what can I do to get saved, Lord? And Jesus still, in his suffering and agonizing pain, he saved that man. And we can only pray that we would have enough strength when we're suffering or in a camp or somewhere. That when we're suffering, that we will have that compassion for others, just like Jesus did. We've got to remain in that ark. We've got to stay in the ark because we're almost to the other side. We're so close. If we really only realized how close we are to the other side. I told y'all about the dream that God gave me about Brock and how the religious people, they came after Brock all the time because he was a teenage boy full of the fire of God, and he brought conviction on all them all the time. And they always pulled him in meetings about his revelations from God. And I get so mad because they would take him down in the dungeon. And as a mama, I was building up this bitterness in my heart. But Brock always had love. And he would always say, Mom, it's okay. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm tired of them doing you like this. It was so much they would do to him, you know. But, you know, as protective mom, as you see these things. And I was so mad. It was killing my soul. And bitterness was raging in my heart. And the Lord gave me a dream. And I saw Perry Stone, which was Brock's mentor back then, up there. And Brock got, so we was in a coliseum, like, you know, a big stadium, and Perry Stone had just finished preaching, and Brock went running up there to him, and he was like, Perry, I love you, Perry. And he went up there and he jumped on Perry and wrapped his arms around him and was loving on him like, oh, I love you. Oh, I follow you and I listen to everything you say and I'm so thankful for you and all this. But while he was loving on him, his face was melting and this demon was being exposed. So when Perry realized that he was being exposed, he pushed Brock back. And y'all know this ain't the real Perry Stone, but I'm just telling you the dream. The only reason that I saw him was because it was somebody Brock highly respected, you know. So it is not him, but he pushed him back and he said, go to the dungeon now. So I had to sit out there in the, you know, the stadium seats and wait while he was down there in the dungeon. And I had to wait hours and I was getting so mad and this anger was raging up in my heart. And I was so mad that they was abusing my son down there again, you know. And so hours later, I looked over. And there was Brock, beaten to a pulp. And burned. He was like charred. And all I could see was his eyeballs in his mouth. And I was like, this anger came over me, this fiery rage. And I said, did Perry do that to you? And he looked at me like he always did, Mama, it's okay. I said, no, it's not. He's hurting my son. I want to know, did he do this to you? So after about three or four times, Brock looked at me and he goes, yes, Mom, he did. Woo, I took off running. I was running around that stadium and I was screaming, I'm going to kill you when I find you doing that to my son. How dare you? How dare you? And I was running and running and running around that stadium. And I was wearing myself out from all the anger and hatred. And all of a sudden, this light shined down in front of me. And it stopped me in my tracks. And I heard God's voice. And he spoke to me and he said, they did it to my son too. And I looked up at him and I said, but that's my son. And I fell to my knees and I started screaming in agony. I was so mad that they was doing this to my son. And God spoke to me and he said, why do you think I turned my back when he was on the cross? And I started crying and crying in my dream. Woo! I was crying because I told you how God rebukes me in my dreams. And I cried and cried and cried. And I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so angry. I can't stand them hurting my son. And I was telling God how angry I was. And he said, if you will give me Brock, I will take care of Brock. So I had to give Brock to him that night in the dream. So what I'm trying to tell you is, how God felt when Jesus was on that cross You think God don't have feelings? That was his son. Look at the parable of the vine dresser, of the vineyard. When he sent his son in there, when he had created this beautiful vineyard, and then he went in there and he sent all these messengers and they beat every one of them. And then he sent his son in there thinking, surely they'll respect my son. And they killed his son too. So God has feelings. So anyways, okay, so getting back over here. Being in the ark of God will cost you everything. And you may even lose your loved ones, your family. You will have to separate from your world, from the world, and it will cost you everything, and there will be suffering. Because right now, Brad, there's a lot of you suffering. I know, because you call the office and tell me. You come and see me from California. You come and see me from Minnesota. You come and see me from Oklahoma, Texas. You come from all over the country. I had one come all the way from the state of Washington. You come here and you tell me and you want to sit down with me and you want some loving and you want to talk and you're hurting because the rejection of what is happening right now is gut-wrenching. I don't even want to think what a lot of people are doing to themselves out there over the misery of the rejection. But Jesus, okay? Jesus felt that rejection as well. So I am encouraging you today, Brad, get in the ark because we're going to be in heaven very soon.